Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
You're out of order here, and can I have staff from outside come in? We're going to recess the meeting, and we'll come back when you're finished. Thank you.
What you just heard was from a Burnaby City Council meeting on January 28, 2025, where Council and Mayor Mike Hurley was interrupted by local activists from T-Rex Against TMX and Mountain Protectors, two local environmental activist groups, who awarded Council with a Dinosaurs of 2025 award. This award was given due to a closed-door agreement between Council and the Trans Mountain Corporation last September. This agreement would have the Trans Mountain Corp pay the City of Burnaby $20.1 million over the next 21 years to improve the city's emergency response program. This agreement has been heavily criticized by local environmental activist groups due to the fact that the deal also bans the city and the Trans Mountain Corp from making any negative statements about one another, fact, opinion, or otherwise. However, while this was going on inside the council chambers of City Hall, right outside the building was a rally protesting the Trans Mountain Agreement, which included chants.
Democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. Show me what emergency looks like. This is what emergency looks like. Show me what democracy looks like.
Music.
Fracking is. You won't be fracking long. You won't be fracking long. Wherever fracking threatens, we'll sing our fracking song.
And speeches from Indigenous elders, including Jim Layden, a land defender and Indigenous elder of the Coast Salish Watch House on Burnaby Mountain, Burnaby residents, a fire scientist, as well as nurses and doctors for the environment, all gave speeches during the rally. During many of these speeches, frustrations were expressed towards the council's agreement with Trans Mountain and how they believed that the mayor and city council had been effectively gagged by the deal, not allowing them to speak on the environmental safety concerns associated with the TMX pipeline.
Kim the Dino. We did disrupt the proceedings in there. We asked for an amendment to the agenda. We had two people request to be on the agenda of the meeting and were denied. So we interrupted. We told them, what did we tell them, Dino? We told them, yeah, we said, look, you know, gagging your staff from speaking even facts about Trans Mountain is outrageous. And $20.1 million to pave the road for all of those children and young people at schools and at SFU to lose their lives in a massive fire is inexcusable. So we want them to do better. We want them to step away from this agreement, which they can do. It just means they don't get any more money, which is fine. They're only getting like a trickle here and a trickle there. So,
near the rally's conclusion, RCMP arrested a member of T-Rex Against TMX, who interrupted council proceedings later on in the meeting to state their concerns on the TMX pipeline and the council's agreement with the Trans Mountain Corp. Tara Shusterian, a resident representative of the Burnaby Environment Committee and an organizer for the rally, witnessed the arrest and had this to say about what occurred.
No, end of the rally. It was an extraordinary, peaceful rally with a lot of, you know, choirs singing, people just singing protest songs. And, you know, people like nurses and doctors and, fire experts coming and just giving us a lecture about, you know, what were the implications if there was a tank farm fire, and you know the health impacts, the you know evacuation, how we should do it. And it was absolutely a peace-loving, peaceful protest with just the dinosaurs dancing. And maybe one of the dinosaurs got a little exuberant and just went inside council chambers. But as I was telling your colleague, there are enough city security personnel inside the city, and they could have easily been escorted out by the city security. We did not have to get 3 RCMP officers brutally arrest this person, slam them against the the hood of the police car, and then handcuff them like a criminal. They're not a criminal. That's a peace-loving, young person inside that suit, which was just protesting, you know. So it's really a shame. I'm really ashamed of the way this whole thing has been handled by the city. And it just makes me very, very sad. And I think the citizens are going to look at this in a... they're going to be really sad when they see something like this, an ordinary citizen. And yet you have rampant crime and nothing is done. And that's what I told the police officers also. Let's go arrest some criminals instead.
A day later, Police Corporal Mike Calange released a statement on the reasons for the arrest, which stated, on January 28th, 2025... Burnaby RCMP frontline officers responded to a call for service at Burnaby City Hall in regards to a demonstration. When police attended, they noted a group of people outside City Hall peacefully singing and playing music. The people on site were listening to security direction. However, a short time later, one individual entered City Council chambers and was causing a disturbance by interrupting the meeting. The individual refused to leave and was arrested for causing a disturbance. She was transported to Burnaby RCMP cells. The individual was later released from Burnaby RCMP cells with no charges likely being forwarded. Once again, this statement comes from Police Corporal Mike Calange. On the night of the arrest, CJSF also attempted to receive comment from City Council on the incident. No comment was given. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This segment would not be possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Munolo, shy. Dang on my phone, they charged up. Small man teens on the pile up. Anime get blazed and I sign up. Somewhere where the stress no go find us. 4-2-3-1, then I pilot. Every day stuck in traffic. No AC, so I'm wet like a catfish. My guys on the web doing that catfish. 19 teens to the cash hit. But I'm here stuck in transit. Omo, I go turn to a bandit. Cause I won't flex like Hush Puppy. But my conscience got the best of me. Got no time for the jealousy. Make I enjoy being necessities. Gotta wait for the kush. Say if I move, he go shoot. Make I drop like nine on D. And he want the rest of the goose. I'm like, whew. On my last week, man, dude got shot. For the same checkpoint where I cross. Caught in a race and I can't chop dust. Watch your downs and watch your ups. Cause you never know when you might get caught. Cause you never know when you bite that dust. Pawn road from dawn to dusk. Get that dose of must.
I love you, just that.
It's something wrong with my life. When I tell my babies no more, I could get to Europe.
You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
A group of Chinese-Canadian musicians in Vancouver are celebrating the Lunar New Year with a new holiday song. Co-written and performed by Daniel Liu, Gina Lina, Kappa, Arkie, and Van Lafan, New Year is Here features lyrics in English, Mandarin, Cantonese, and Taiwanese, celebrating the Lunar New Year and its themes of diversity, working together to build intercultural friendships, and positive social change.
My name is Vanessa, or Lafan, my Chinese name. My artist name is Van Lafan, and I was one of the co-writers. The Lunar New Year celebration starts on the new moon, of the first new moon of the lunar year, and it ends on the full moon. So it's a 15-day festivity. So when I was in Taiwan, it was a really big deal because all the family would kind of come together and do these things together, whether it's like going to the temple or having meals or certain foods. But being in Canada, it's really changed because even though my parents and my brother are here, we don't celebrate it anywhere to the same extent. Like we just have like one dinner, New Year's Eve-ish. It doesn't even have to be on the day. Like we don't care. We did it last night. So it was nice to actually like make this song and kind of revive the holiday spirit for myself a little bit.
Yeah, my name is Daniel Liu. I'm a musician, originally from Coquitlam, third generation Chinese. So I've been quite removed from Chinese languages and a lot of the culture itself for myself because I never really like lived in like the motherland. It's interesting because like even my extended family, like we'll get together. But like my extended family, like most of them were born here as well. So we're all quite removed, like from a generation or so. So we're probably missing many aspects of like some traditional things. But like the main theme of just like getting together with family, it was an amazing opportunity to start merging my love of music with kind of like reclaiming my own heritage and breaking down my own walls of being able to connect with the language primarily in a musical context.
The song sprung out of an idea to put a musical spin on a familiar Lunar New Year gift, traditionally a red envelope filled with cash.
The JMF team decided to come up with this red envelope idea. So instead of having money in their red envelopes, they wanted to have a QR code to an original song by the JMF artist that's about the Lunar New Year.
Celebrating the Lunar New Year with a Chinese language song is important and impactful to local Chinese-Canadian communities.
I think there's a lot of Chinese language speakers that also don't see themselves represented in media. There's like a couple of Chinese radio stations and I think it's quite segregated. I think there's like English speakers and then Chinese speakers, whereas if you look at the demographics, like Chinese language speakers make up quite a large portion, especially in like the lower mainland. So I think, yeah, to have those communities feel represented and heard and have their voices, something that they can relate to, but then also maybe having non-Chinese speakers exposed to more of it and have it more normalized would be really beautiful. And I think also for, like, you know, second gen, third gen kids, maybe face a language barrier and cultural barrier when they communicate with their own family, whether they're parents or extended family, and it's like maybe not cool to go to Chinese school. I think that's like a common story where, like, kids that grow up here, are born here, they don't see a point in, like, why they should be learning their mother tongue, and they regret it later as an adult, and they wish they could actually, like, reconnect more, or at least, like, have that language ability. Art and music has, like, a point of contact of, like, oh, here's a song that you can learn. Because I remember when I was learning English, like, songs was, like, one of the big things, even if I'm, like, trying to learn Spanish or something, like, it's actually so much easier for me to remember words in the context of a song than it is to just, like, memorize.
Daniel Liu says New Year Is Here also presents a great opportunity for all Canadians to learn about Chinese language and culture, and to participate in celebrating the Lunar New Year.
The exposure to other communities that might not be familiar with the Chinese language, I think that this is definitely an important part of what getting this type of music out there is, because especially a song like this, because, like, it's a hybrid, like, right, we have English and we have Taiwanese and Cantonese and Mandarin all in one song. And there was another Jade artist at our last event, her name's Eunice, but she made this point, I remember, about how, let's say, like, a pop song like Despacito, I think is what she said, and saying how, okay, look, we have this pop song that incorporates a little bit of Spanish, and, like, that's all right, and it's cool, and it, like, it's trendy, and it's like, well, why can't Chinese language music be like that too? And frankly, any language should be embraced to that degree in North America.
Infusing Lunar New Year traditions with a modern pop influence, the song is a way to bring families and generations together in celebration.
I think it has a different vibe than a lot of New Year, Chinese New Year songs that already exist. Often they can be kind of, like, campy, and, like, my parents listened to it and they were, like, really excited. I think they were actually secretly really into it. They're like, oh yeah, this is actually, like, really different from, like, other New Year songs. Like, this is cool. Yeah, just, like, different generations can listen to it and maybe connect and sing it together, or just get into the holiday spirit. I hope people like it. I hope they hear it. I hope it brings them joy. I think it's pretty catchy, so I hope it becomes, like, a New Year bop.
在这圆月下，做你的身旁，屋里我沙龙家。新年快乐！新年又到来，怎么那么快乐？From Vancouver, this is Jesse Wenslaw for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This piece is made possible by funding from the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative and can be found online at frequencynews.ca.
Bye. 信红包拿来，没有红包明天不会回来。 Money money yeah touch the sky I'ma make it home baby do or die。 月亮月亮那么漂亮，阿姨就像跟你一样，阿姑阿姑今年辛苦了，跟你拜年新年快乐。
不管你在哪远方或故乡，都能看见那光芒，时代的人都曾经去投望同样的一个月亮，在这圆月下坐你的身旁，屋里瓦沙龙家
新年快乐。
最近点啊？
哎，仲未有拖饭，唔好问啦。
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, Burnaby, BC.
Reporting from Port Moody, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. On January 14th, 2025, two members of the BCSPCA gave a presentation at a Port Moody City Council meeting that expressed the SPCA's issues and concerns with mobile petting zoos within the Lower Mainland. In their presentation, Kristen Jacob, a specialist in farm animal welfare, and Nadia Zanakis, a specialist in wild animal welfare, provided council with information that detailed the health and safety risks that these zoos not only pose for the animals in them, but for the public at large. Only a week after this delegation, a decision was made by Port Moody's Governance and Legislation Committee to ask that city staff create a corporate policy that would ban these zoos from operating in the city. CJSF was able to get in contact with Nadia Zanakis, the BCSPCA's specialist in wildlife animal welfare, who first presented to Port Moody City Council to discuss the SPCA's concerns with these mobile petting zoos. During our discussion with Zanakis, we first asked her to expand on the animal welfare concerns associated with these zoos.
Yeah, so we were invited by the Port Moody City Council to provide a presentation on the animal welfare concerns associated with these events. So they're just looking for kind of testimony from experts in this area to provide more information. And so the risks with events like these are to animal welfare for the animals themselves, so risks to their psychological and their physical health. So these events are very stressful. They usually feature exotic animals, which are just wild animals from another country. So we don't usually think of animals like raccoons as pets or companion animals. But when we see kind of reptiles or parrots or animals of that nature, essentially that's what they are, just wild animals from another country we've brought into Canada that are used for these events or used as companion animals. And so that's not really part of their natural habitat. It's very hard to meet their five freedoms in captivity. So there's a lot of concerns for their welfare at events like these, where they may not be given time to rest. They may constantly be being handled either appropriately or inappropriately. They can be stepped on. There's a lot of risk to their physical safety as well as a health and safety component for people. So there's a lot of mixing of animals and humans. That's a risk for Salmonella, E. coli, and we've seen avian influenza heavily featured in the news right now as well. So those are all kind of risks, including physical risks as well. So some events can feature larger mammals. Animals can be unpredictable when they're stressed. They can shed pathogens more heavily when they're stressed. So it's just kind of a mix of a lot of risk involved with these events.
Afterwards, Zanakis expanded on some of the public education work that the BCSPCA is advocating for, as well as the need for better standards in regards to wild animal welfare.
Yeah, we are constantly aiming to kind of provide education, seasonal education, as things pop up in the media. Servals, for example, usually have kind of an annual appearance in the media when one escapes and perhaps they are loose in an area and they might be attacking kind of outdoor cats. We really try to use opportunities like that to spread awareness about these issues. And really what we're advocating for is the Controlled Alien Species Act is provincial legislation. It's a negative list currently. So it means that it only lists the animals you cannot have. But the problem with that is there's new animals popping up all the time with trends and kind of new pets or animals that people are interested in having. And we can't keep up with kind of updating it to reflect the changes that are happening at the time. So servals, for example, aren't on the Controlled Alien Species list. So people can legally have these animals, and as we've seen, there's issues with that. So what we're advocating for is a positive list. So instead, we would list only the species you're allowed to have, and it covers everything else. So you don't have to worry about kind of new trends popping up and having to update the legislation. And we think it'd be, and it would fill a lot of gaps that way. So that's one thing that we're advocating for. And we're hoping that we can continue to work on this.
Lastly, we asked Anakis to give her thoughts on the City of Port Moody's recent decision to look into the banning of these mobile petting zoos. Here's what she had to say.
Yeah, we think it's fantastic. So Port Moody is really like a championing leader in this space. They're the first to kind of pass kind of legislation like this. And I think it's an important first step to start having these conversations, and maybe others might want to follow suit. But there's a lot of work that kind of needs to go into this issue. So from a municipal level, this is a great, fantastic step, and we're so thrilled to see it. But there's multiple levels of government that could be involved in this. So we are also advocating provincially to the provincial government as well for stronger restrictions on these types of animals.
Once again, that was Nadia Zanakis, the BCSPCA's specialist in wildlife animal welfare, who gave her thoughts on the City of Port Moody's decision to look into creating a corporate policy that would ban mobile petting zoos from operating in the city. Once again, this has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This piece would not be possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Refuge. listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online